Well, this text tonight is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. I want to say that this has, to me, been a very challenging text. And I've had to do a lot of heart searching because I don't know anybody that I can say prays without ceasing. And I could never boast of that. I sleep, I eat, I do other things. I read, I go on the phone. How can you possibly be praying without ceasing when you're going about your daily tasks? Now, if you're alone and maybe if you were painting or gardening or maybe doing things all alone and in a quiet place, you could very well lift up your heart to the Lord and commune with God as you do those things. Mr. Spurgeon pointed out that a beggar can get the testimony of begging without ceasing. And he's on the same street, same spot, and there he is. People, perhaps they recognize him, and they could say, he's always there, every day. But he goes home. He has other things in life. But every day, he's at that spot, and there he is, begging. He's begging without ceasing. We, as praying people and Christians, ought to have that testimony in prayer, that we're always praying. Where there's opportunity to pray, we're there. And there's a regularity, there's a consistency, and there is a growing attitude in prayer. Now, ceaseless praying, that means praying in every situation and every opportunity, it is possible for a whole number of reasons. There are many big reasons why it is absolutely wonderfully possible that you could be praying anywhere at any time. And it is, of course, because of our regeneration. We are born of the Spirit, born from above. Now, we know that sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. There is a rebellion to God. There's a running away from God. But when we're born again, it's vastly changed. It's turned around. And instead of running away from God, all of our lives should be going toward God and desiring fellowship and wonderful, sweet communion with Him. Think of the day after you were converted. For me, it just seems like yesterday. And I can remember the constant awareness of God in my heart and mind. There wasn't a moment that I wasn't thinking of what the Lord had already done in my heart. And I was changed from being always filled with worldly things to truly fixed on doing and seeking the things of the Lord. And so that we can say that a day without prayer is a wasted day. You could also say that an hour without prayer is a wasted hour, because what we do not do by faith, by depending on the Lord, of course, it is lost. In every born-again Christian, there is this spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We know that from the book of Romans, chapter 8, and we are enabled by the Spirit to pray and cry to God. And therefore, prayer is the mark of our new birth. Paul the Apostle, behold, he prayeth. That was the mark of his conversion. And so it's wonderfully possible. Also by our redemption, by the finished work of the cross, when we get our hearts fixed in the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus, and we are reconciled to God, well, we can pray at any time, and we have this access to God by this new and living way. And of course, the Lord Jesus is constantly interceding for us as our great high priest. You don't have to look at your watch before you pray to see if it is time. You don't have to check out, is the Lord at his post now praying for us? He's always there, ever living to make intercession. And no matter it's day or night, or what day of the week we can be absolutely sure of an audience with the Lord each and every time. God neither nor slumbers nor sleeps, and so we don't need to waken him up. We don't need to see if he's on duty. We can come at any hour, at any time, and this makes prayer wonderfully possible for us. Now, there's something else that we need to do that we might pray without ceasing, and that is to mortify the flesh. If we are living carnally, if we are living in a worldly way, well, we will find that we will not pray unceasingly. And we will find that there's a great barrier between us and the Lord. But if we are constantly seeking to put down the flesh, and we do that, of course, by the power of the cross, we must go to Calvary every day. We must pray for death to the old sinful nature. There's an Amalek in every one of us that would rebel against God and rebel against prayer and steal away the desire to pray. And so if we go to the cross and if we pray for a putting to death of that sin nature within us, we will find that we will indeed pray without ceasing. And so I want you to realize tonight that it is possible for you to pray on a most constant basis. Prayer ought not to be a separate duty done in a little corner and the rest of the day is just a secular time. No, there can be constant prayer in the life of the Christian. Now, as we look at this text, verse 17, pray without ceasing, it was stated to the Christians at Thessalonica. They were real people, real Christians. And Paul is giving them a list of commands, list of things to do. It's a kind of the apostle's to-do list. And there you can see he's expecting these people to do this, to live in this way as Christians. Now, who do you know, who does your mind run to as you think of someone who's consistently a man or woman of prayer? They really are quite few when you think about it. You have to think hard. There's not a whole lot of people you could say that about. Even in the Bible, they are somewhat limited. You certainly have Daniel, Samuel, David, Simeon, Paul, Abraham, and I suppose you could consider quite a list of others as well. But you have to dig for them. They're not always on the surface. And in everyday life, who do we know that you could say, prays without ceasing? And it's a challenge to pray in this manner. I was saying to the men of our presbytery that the man that stood out to me was Dr. Paisley. He was a man who could be doing almost anything. And then he would just hit you on the shoulder and say, brother, you pray. Or he would burst out into prayer himself. And you would have thought that his mind was totally preoccupied in something else. But he was always living in the atmosphere of prayer. Of C.H. Spurgeon, it was said that he never or seldom prayed more than 15 minutes. But then there were seldom 15 minutes that he didn't pray. Such was his constant habit of praying. To do that and to develop that kind of prayer life, there's a few things we need to guard against. Number one, go nowhere that you can't pray. Don't go into some worldly place where if it was necessary for you to call on the Lord, you couldn't do it. Don't go there. Go where you can pray. That's a good safeguard for the Christian. Do nothing that will curb the spirit of prayer in your own heart. That could be television. It could be some worldly game. It could be something that you know grieves the Holy Spirit. And if you spend X number of hours doing those things, and then you come to pray, well, you won't be praying without ceasing. You will have to do a whole lot of hard work to get back into blessing and fellowship again with God. We also need to cast off lethargy. It takes energy to pray. It takes energy to be a man or a woman of prayer. It takes effort. There's things that you just don't do. There's places you don't go. There's routines that you need to keep up. And it is really a very disciplined life. But then we are disciples. We are followers of the Lord Jesus. And that is needs developed. Also, we need to guard against presumption. Sometimes we presume, well, God is God, He's sovereign, He'll have His way, He will do His will, and He has certain promises and statements in the Bible. We know exactly what God would do. But we can't presume. We need to plead those promises. We need to pray them and to pray constantly and seeking the Lord. If you go back to chapter 3:10, you will see how the apostle did it. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he didn't say to these Christians at Thessalonica, well, this is the way God works. He saves you, He sanctifies you, and then He puts you to work, and He will bless your work, and then one day He'll bring you to heaven. They were to pray about it, night and day, night and day. And so we don't presume that we're going to have the presence of God. We don't presume that He's going to give us the help that we need. We come in prayer, and that's the reason for this praying without ceasing. Now, there's a few benefits of living such a life, of praying constantly and without ceasing. It will keep us in the love of God, and we will be, to some degree, indeed to a much higher degree, able to keep that royal law, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we're living a life of ceaseless prayer, then we are expressing that devotion, living in the atmosphere of communion with God. Also, to keep up that spirit or attitude of prayer on a regular basis, on a daily and, if possible, hourly basis, it means that every time we come back to pray, we don't start at zero. There are times when we come to the Lord in prayer and we've got a lot of ground to cover before we get really into real blessing. And if we've been living busy, distracted, carnally, and prayerless, then we've got to confess those things. But if we are already living at that level of real personal communion with God, then you can at least begin at that level again, and we can make immediate progress as we seek the Lord. Now, you'll notice something here in these verses, that this pray without ceasing is sandwiched in between verse 16, rejoice evermore. One of the great benefits of living a prayerful life is the joy it brings. And a prayerless life will be a joyless life. If you're prayerless, you're joyless. If you want real joy, live in the atmosphere of prayer. And of course, as believers, we want to be happy all the day. And we can. We can have the blessedness of the Lord in our souls constantly. Not just one day a week on Sundays, but we have that joy of the Lord. Someone asked me recently, what does it mean to pray through? And sometimes I use that term, we need to pray through. Well, I've found a little definition for it. It means that you pray till you feel like singing, and you sing until you feel like praying. That means you're praying through. And see how these things are coupled together. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. And then you'll notice the thankful spirit. In everything, give thanks. And these things go together. They are the benefits, and they are the wonderful blessings as we speak and as we serve the Lord. Now, the last point is for preachers, and I think we do have a few budding preachers here. We may even have a lady preacher here. So I want to give you this one. Unceasing prayer will ensure an unction upon our preaching. I said to the men this week that we can't just leave this to Saturday night and then pray and turn on the tap suddenly, nor can we leave it to Sunday morning and spend all our days all week prayerless and then come in the last few hours before we come to the pulpit and suddenly turn on the tap and expect God to pour out his blessing. The price of enjoying power with God is a life of ceaseless praying. Now, I say that with all the limitations we have and all the distractions we go through. And there are times when we need to be quiet and quite need to be still, times when we're going to be busy, but we can do everything prayerfully. And we can cultivate this attitude of always living in the atmosphere of the Lord and seeking his help and his grace. And in doing that, we will know power. We will know his wonderful help. And it brings me back to the text we looked at last week, where we looked at where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And this unction in preaching, this help in service, is the Lord's great promise. And we thereby are yoked with the Lord. We are serving together, and we're calling him alongside to be our help and our strength. And so I leave with you tonight this message. Pray without ceasing. It's a tall one. It's a high order. It humbles us, makes us to realize how much of our lives could be wasted. Prayerless days, prayerless hours, prayerless activities. And of course, we could have prayerless Sundays, prayerless ministry. And that's why the church needs to come together. That's why we need to keep up prayer meetings. That's why we need to be praying on without ceasing, that the Lord will grant us his constant help and his blessing in our service for him.